Good morning. It's wonderful to see you this morning. It's wonderful to open God's Word together this morning. It's already been mentioned a couple of times by both Pastor Justin and Pastor Carol that on Thursday of this week, of course, our nation will celebrate Thanksgiving as we have since 1941. And you know your history, you know 1941 wasn't the first time that our nation celebrated Thanksgiving as a nation, but 1941 was the year when the U.S. Congress and President Franklin D. Roosevelt established that it would be the fourth Thursday of November, as the statement said, to be permanently and without alteration the official national Thanksgiving holiday. And though there may be things that we don't necessarily appreciate that our government does, that declaration was a good thing, because as Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And so that being the case, we're going to forego once again this week the book of Hebrews. We will finish Hebrews, God willing. Might be after the first of the year, but we'll get there, God willing. But this morning, in light of our what we will celebrate as a nation this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn in God's Word to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Just going to read that one verse this morning. But it's an informative verse. It's a pointed verse. We might even say it's an all-encompassing verse. In such a way it really is. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes to the people of God these words: give thanks in all circumstances. People of God, how many circumstances?
All circumstances.
Give thanks in all circumstances. I think a distinction can be made there. Not necessarily for all circumstances. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we scratch our heads a little bit. And we wonder, I'm really not 100% sure what the will of God is for my life in this direction or that direction or some other direction. We want to know what the will of God is, but sometimes it's a little difficult for us to discern quite what that will of God is. But not here. Here it's clear. Here we're told, for us as the people of God, something very clear that is the will of God for us. And it's to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us as his people. Let's pray together. Lord, we've prayed, we've asked for your blessings upon your word. And we thank you that you're communicating, God, and that you desire to speak to your people and to help us along the way by your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Lord, I just say amen already to what's been prayed, that you'll bless the preaching and the hearing of your word for your glory in our hearts and our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
On January the 1st of this year, it never occurred to me that I would stand by the casket of three family members, two siblings, a brother, a sister, and just about 2 weeks ago, a young nephew of only 45 years old. And I suspect on January the 1st of this year, it did not occur to some of you sitting in this room this morning that you would stand by the graveside of a dearly passed loved one. For others of you this year, it's not been the death of a loved one, but there certainly have been other unexpected difficulties and unexpected challenges. And yes, unexpected diagnoses that you never anticipated at the beginning of this year. In light of our text this morning, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week as a nation, today I'd like to give you four reasons why you and I can be thankful no matter what. Or to use the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, four reasons why you and I can be thankful in all circumstances. And even though we should be thankful, as God says is his will for us, in all circumstances, these four reasons for which we can give thanks in all circumstances are not ultimately based on our circumstances. Rather, they're based on the soul anchoring truths of the never-changing Trinity of God and the never-changing Word of God. And I say four reasons why we can be thankful no matter what, because although as Christians alone, but as people who live in this country that will celebrate Thanksgiving this week, although we have many, many reasons to give thanks, sometimes, especially in difficult and trying circumstances, we may be tempted not to be thankful. Perhaps even worse, in trying times and difficult times, we may be tempted to grumble and to complain, to bellyache. And there's no sanctified bellyaching. In fact, that's exactly what we're told not to do in Philippians 2:14. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Paul turns that around in Philippians 2:14, and he says, and do all things without grumbling and complaining. Have you known? Have you sensed? Have you felt? Have you done? Have I? Any grumbling and complaining? Because that would be the antithesis of giving thanks in all circumstances. Or sometimes we may be tempted to think that things are just too bad, or they're too difficult, or they're too hard to be thankful. And yet here God in his word in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 calls us to be a thankful people who give thanks in all circumstances, and that that's the will of God for us. So four reasons why we can be thankful no matter what, based on the never-changing Trinity of God and the unchanging Word of God. Reason number one. First reason that we can be, by the way, there's your four reasons. The Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Those are your four reasons. So the first reason we can be thankful no matter what is that God the Father, your loving Father, your wise Father, is sovereign over all things, all events, all locations, all situations, and all people. In other words, God, your Father, your loving, wise Father, is in control of all circumstances. And there's so many verses in Scripture that remind us of that, but we're only going to look at just at two. For example, consider Isaiah 46:9. What a rich passage. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's no one like me. Hear what God says, declaring the end from the beginning. Whatever that last and final thing is, God says, I've already declared that end thing from the beginning. And then he switches it around and he says, and from ancient times, I have declared things that are not yet. So certain things that haven't even happened yet, God's declared those from ancient times, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. So, beloved, God in his perfect sovereignty does as he pleases, with whom he pleases, where he pleases, how he pleases, when he pleases. He says, I am God. That's who I am, and that's what I do. You can trust that. So that in every situation, every location, every event, he will accomplish his good pleasure, past, present, and in the future. And nothing happens apart from his searching, caring, loving, wise eye. He always knows the condition of a sparrow, which is sold for a farthing, a mere half of a penny. And you as his child are much, 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 much more valuable than many sparrows. Our confession states it this way when it talks about God's providential care and sovereign rule over creation. From chapter 5 in our confession, God, the good creator of all things, in his infinite power and wisdom, upholds, directs, organizes, and governs all creatures and things from the greatest to the least by his perfectly wise and holy providence. But brothers and sisters, it's not just that God does that in his holy and wise providence, you know, sort of out there somewhere. That brings us to the second verse I'd like for us to think about, because more personally than God just orchestrating things out there sovereignly, which we know he does, but more personally, Romans 8, 28 and 29 reminds us that God, our Father, sovereignly works out all things for our good. Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. And so God, your loving, wise Father, is causing, he's ordering, he's orchestrating all things to work together for your good. Now, back to the point I made a moment ago about not necessarily giving thanks for all things, but giving thanks in all circumstances. When the Apostle Paul here says that God is causing all things to work together for your good, he's not saying that all things are good in and of themselves. They're not. What he is saying, though, is that God, in his perfect wisdom and infinite power, is providentially and wisely causing all things to work together for your good, to make you more like Christ. That's his great purpose. To make you in your heart, to make you in your attitudes, to make you in your thoughts, to make you in your words, to make you in your relationships, to make you in the way that you relate to your world more like Christ. And at times, we do not fully understand what is going on, especially in times of sickness and sorrow and trial and hardship. And so giving thanks in all circumstances is not this. It's not saying, God, I thank you that I or that someone that I love has a terminal illness. It's not that. It's not saying, God, I thank you that I lost my job. But rather, it's a hard attitude, looking heavenward to sovereign, wise, holy God and saying, I give you thanks, O my Father. My good Father, my loving Father, I give you thanks, O sovereign God, that you are good and that you sovereignly control all events and locations and situations and molecules and cells and people, and that you wisely decree all things and that all things are ordered by you in your providence to work for good in the lives of those who love you, to be made more like Christ. Giving thanks in all circumstances is never a matter of passive resignation. Giving thanks in all circumstances is never an attitude of que sera, sera. It's not that. Giving thanks in all circumstances is an act of active faith in the sovereignty of God, your Father. And so you can give thanks no matter what, because God, your Father, is sovereign over all things, events, locations, situations, and people. Second reason that we can give thanks no matter what, in all circumstances, is because God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, your mighty Savior, saves to the uttermost all who trust him. I'm getting that from Hebrews 7:25. Some versions say that he is able to save to the uttermost. Here's how another version puts it in Hebrews 7:25. And therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. When the apostle, or when the writer of the Hebrews here says that our Lord is able, he means our Lord has the power. Our Lord has the ability. Our Lord has all the resources. Our Lord has all the strength to accomplish a certain purpose, and he tells us exactly what that purpose is. He tells us he is able to save completely, perfectly, to the nth degree forever all who come to him. Which means he is able to save you from the penalty of sin. So that you can say this morning, as Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can change that. You can be thankful for your full justification in Christ, no matter what. You can be thankful this morning that Christ's perfect righteousness by the mercy and the grace of God has been fully imputed to you, and it is yours. And nothing can pluck you from his hand. That in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been, not are, but since we have been justified by faith, let this resonate and penetrate your soul this morning like it never has before. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how the hymn writer said it. This peace with God, 'tis an everlasting peace. It's sure as Jehovah's name. 'Tis stable as his steadfast throne, forevermore the same. The clouds may come and go, and storms may sweep my sky. This blood-sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. He's able to save us completely from the penalty of sin. He's also so powerful that he's able to save us from the power of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 instructs us that if any man is in Christ, all things have passed away, and behold, all things are now new. Which means now you can give thanks no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, you can give thanks that you are no longer dominated or no longer have to be dominated by old sinful practices and patterns. You can give thanks that no matter what your circumstances, in Christ, you are now and you forever will be a new man and a new woman in whatever circumstances come your way. And again, that God is working out all those things. So in that, as that new man and as that new woman, he can make you more like Christ in word and deed and action. He's so powerful that he's able to save you and me ultimately and finally from the very presence of sin in heaven. So please hear this. No matter what your circumstances on this earth are, Jesus Christ is your hope in life and in death and forever. He's able to save you fully from the penalty of sin and the power of sin and the presence of sin. This is the absolute reality of the fullness of God's grace to you in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's able to save us completely and perfectly and forever. And that's something we can give thanks in or thanks about no matter what. Third reason why we can always give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what, is because God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit always helps us in all of our weaknesses. This past Wednesday night at prayer meeting, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I was struck as I was reading that passage Wednesday night about how Paul referred to his weaknesses, plural. He said it 3 or 4 times in that one chapter. He didn't talk about his weakness. He was boasting in his weaknesses because he knew that when he was weak, then he was strong. Do you feel your weaknesses? I feel my weaknesses. But the blessed Holy Spirit is Christ's source of his ever-present help in and for his people. Hear these verses from the Gospel of John. John 14:6. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Not just now, but forever. John 14:18. Our Lord says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the helper, to you. Our Lord said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I mean, orphans, it's just a hard, difficult state to be in, no matter what time you live in. But I think particularly, especially in that day when the Lord said these words, I will not leave you as orphans. That in that day, orphans were often the sad epitome of hopelessness and weakness. And that's why he says, I'm not going to leave you like that. Orphans were desperate. They were impoverished. They were without support. Often they were left to try to do the best they could to make it on their own. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. But your Lord said, that's exactly how I'm not leaving you. That's exactly how I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I am going to leave you for a while, but not as helpless orphans. But I'm going to give you another helper to come alongside you for the purpose of giving you help and aid and strength and support forever. When he said, I'm going to give you another helper, our Lord meant, I'm going to give you another helper of the same kind. That's what the word means there. Another helper of the same kind. When the Lord Jesus Christ was there on earth with his disciples, he was always there for them. He had come to help them to know God. He had come to help them to know truth. He had come to help them to understand and believe the gospel. He had come to help them to serve God and to serve others. And his promise to them and to us and to you in your circumstances is I will give you another helper. Another of the same kind. To help you to be and to do all that God would have you to be and to do. Every day. In your home. In your marriage. In your sickness. In your weakness. His promise to them and to us and to you is that he will not leave you as an orphan, but that he will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit to help you in everything now and forever. He says to you, regardless of the difficulty that you may find yourself, inward or outward, the Holy Spirit will be with you to help you. Regardless of your circumstances, the Holy Spirit will be with you to help you so that no matter what, we can give thanks to God, the Holy Spirit, who is always with us to help us until Christ comes again. And then fourthly, there were the first three reasons, because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then fourthly, we can give thanks no matter what, because God's word will never fail. And God's word will forever be a constant source of light in whatever dark world or dark circumstances we might find ourselves. Let me say it again. Giving thanks in all circumstances is not a positive thinking technique. Giving thanks always, in all things, in all circumstances, is acting in faith on God's never-failing word and his never-failing promises. And we can do that in a general sense like this. God, I thank you that, Psalm 119:89, I thank you that forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens, or Isaiah 48. I thank you, O Lord, that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Or Matthew 24:35. I thank you, God, that heaven and earth will pass away, but that your words will not pass away. We could do that in that kind of general sense, but we can also give thanks to God for his never-changing word in a more personal and a more specific sense. Because giving thanks in all circumstances is always rooted in one or more of God's soul-anchoring promises for our souls. For example, we can say to him, in times of uncertainty, God, I thank you that all of your promises are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. In times of weakness, we can say, God, I thank you that in this weak moment, that your strength is made perfect in my weakness, and that your grace is sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Or in times of trial, we can say specifically, God, I thank you that in this trial that I feel so keenly, in this test and in this trial, I thank you that you will not allow me to be tested beyond that which I'm able, and that you will provide a way of escape for me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. In times of darkness, when we're not sure which way to turn, we can say, God, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Or in times when hope grows dim, God, I thank you that though the wrong seems off so strong, I give you thanks for the conquering power of the kingdom of Christ and for the sure hope of all that awaits me in Christ for all eternity in the new heavens and in the new earth, and that nothing can separate me from your love Romans 8. And they're just mountains and mountains of those kinds of specific promises we can take to God in thanksgiving. Because giving thanks is active trust in God and His Word. We sang a hymn a few moments ago. It was an old hymn. It was an old hymn written during the 30 Years' War that was fought across Central Europe between 1618 and 1648. In the 30 Years' War, it's estimated that some areas of Germany lost 60% of its population, wiped out by disease and starvation and the ravages of the war. And almost right in the middle of that time frame, not quite, but almost right in the middle of that time frame, in 1636, during the difficulties of that war, there was a German pastor named Martin Rinkhart. If you looked in your hymn book, by the way, you would have seen that he was the author of that hymn we sang earlier this morning. And it said that in 1 year, Pastor Rinkhart buried 5,000 of his parishioners. He stood by the grave in the caskets of 5,000 of his members. It was said that he buried on average in that year 15 church members a day. Hardly easy circumstances. And it was in the depths of those deep, dark circumstances that he wrote this table grace for his children. The table grace that we sang just a moment earlier. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things had done and whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. And if you follow that hymn closely, you notice that Pastor Rinkhart was thanking God because God the Father was sovereign over all events. God the Son was saving to the uttermost. God the Holy Spirit was giving help. And he was basing his thanks, not in his hard, horrible circumstances, but in the never-changing Word of God. He's a bright example to us, a shining example of one who knew that thanksgiving flows from faith in God and not from our outward circumstances. So this Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, we have four reasons. We have many reasons to be thankful. But for sure, we have four reasons to be thankful no matter what, in all circumstances. That one, God, your Father, is sovereign over all things. God, the Son, your mighty Savior, is able to save you to the uttermost. God, the Holy Spirit, is ever present to help you on to heaven. And God's word will never fail and is the constant source of light. To help us just practically in giving thanks, I have down here on the front row, I think about 30 copies. Help and fathers, get them for your family. Young people, get them for yourself. Children, get them for yourself. No age limit whatsoever. Please pick one up. It's just a simple little thing that says, God, I give you thanks for. One column, temporal blessings. Second column, or temporal provisions. Temporal provisions, spiritual blessings. Just make this available to you as an aid this week because it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Maybe you can pick up one of those and just work on it through the week of some reasons why you are thankful to this great God of ours. And I'll suggest to you, you can fill the blanks up and then turn it around and just keep going, more than likely. Let's pray together. Lord, we should hear the song, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. I'm sure we should hear that song. We should hear that it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. We should hear, give thanks in all circumstances, to give thanks, as Paul wrote there earlier, that we can be to the praise of your glory in all things. Lord, we should hear your word challenge us about grumbling and complaining rather than looking to you and trusting in you and thanking you and thanking you for your great love for us. So Lord, just take these words, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and impress it upon our hearts so we'll be an increasingly thankful people for your glory because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to the table now.